Today we're going to talk about All Holy Trinity. And All Holy Trinity is another Trinitarian prayer that is part of the Trisagion. So it's the second Trinitarian prayer of the Trisagion. You've got Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal of Merciness. We've talked about this one. And this is also Trinitarian because O Most Holy Trinity of Merciness, O Lord, blot out our sins. O Master, pardon our transgressions. O Holy One, visit and heal our infirmities for thy name's sake. Whereas Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal just mentions the persons of the Holy Trinity directly and nothing else. Here, the All Holy Trinity is invoked, and then the three persons of the Trinity are invoked one by one, following the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this prayer shows a really well-rounded, complete view of mercy and forgiveness. In Western society, mercy and forgiveness are not understood at all. And this prayer, in microcosm, shows what mercy and forgiveness really are. Because what it's doing is it's asking for mercy in three different ways. O Most Holy Trinity, have mercy on us. Now, here's the three ways that we want mercy. Blot out our sins, pardon our iniquities, visit and heal our infirmities for thy name's sake. And they're all three different things, very different things. To your average Protestant, it's all about blot out our sins. It's all about if you believe in Jesus, then all of your sins are blotted out by his substitutionary atonement on the cross, which is a little piece of, at least it's artful theology. It's not true, but it's artful. It's really new theology. It's only been around for a few hundred years. Jesus Christ didn't come just to be punished instead of us. Jesus Christ came not only so that we would have our sins blotted out, but also so that our iniquities would be pardoned. Iniquities are something different than sins. We'll talk about that in a moment. And especially to heal our infirmities. Because I've told you many, many times, if all that God becoming man did is give me forgiveness of my sins, that's not enough. That's not anywhere close to enough. Because I could be forgiven 70 times, 7 times. Every time that I do something, I could be forgiven. But I want to change. Jesus Christ came so that we could change. And Nicholas was mentioning that there's some recent posts on the internet with a really wonderful blog that he and I both read and that we would recommend to you all. About just the blessedness of existence. And if we are to be blessed and happy, then we have to be changed. Because we could be forgiven day after day, but then if we're not a different person, then we're not satisfied with who we are. Jesus Christ came to make us perfect, or to help us become perfect. He didn't come to make us be anything, right? It's not like he took clay and is going to make us into the perfect pot. He's giving us the ability to perfect ourselves with his help. And this prayer is a wonderful example of how we look at mercy and forgiveness and what salvation really is. So, sins are things that we've done. They're things that cannot be changed because they happened. They're historical events, things that we did. It might be things, of course, that we thought, things that we wanted to do and were not able to do, or things that we did physically. Regardless, there are things that we have done. And we cannot, in any way, erase the fact that we have sinned. But we can beg God to blot out our sins, and we'll talk about some scriptures about that, because they're very, very powerful. Iniquities are who we are. Sins are transgressions. They're about the same thing. And iniquities are our moral condition. Iniquities brings about our sins. You cannot sin and still be filled with iniquities. How many of us have thought, oh, I don't feel this, I've forgiven this person. But you haven't thought about them in 10 years. And then someone reminds you that they're doing well, or what they did when they cheated you, or some other such thing. And all of a sudden, what happens? That hot anger inside of us flows. So we haven't been sinning regarding that person for a long time. We haven't thought about him. But our iniquities were still there. Our propensity to be angry at that person was still there. So to be forgiven sins is great. But the root of sin is our iniquities, which is really our condition, who we are. And Jesus Christ came to help us change who we are, not just what we do, and not just what we are, whether we're judged for the things we do, but to actually change our moral condition. Infirmities are weaknesses, and that human condition that makes it so hard for us to change. So infirmities are not necessarily iniquities. We have weaknesses. Let's say, for instance, we get nervous easily. Some people get nervous when things start to happen. It's not necessarily a sin. But if that nervousness causes us to go and yell at people or to curse or to become angry about things, then that infirmity has caused us to fall into sin. And then there are deeper infirmities. How many of us have trouble keeping a spiritual routine? Huh? Let's all raise our hands. Everybody does, right? That's an infirmity. We want to do good, right? But we just can't seem to figure it out. We just can't seem to keep it up. And how many of us want to remember God at all times? I'm sure all of us do. And yet, have we gone through the day and we remember that, wait a minute, I've barely thought of God for the last 2 hours. We have extreme weaknesses in our human condition, and Jesus Christ came to strengthen the human will. One could make a sort of a simile would be that our will is like our weak will is like our infirmities, and Jesus Christ came to strengthen our weak will. So we have the three things really that we need most in order to really be changed. Of course, we have things that we've done and we beg God's forgiveness. So we say, blot out our sins. But we also have iniquities, which means things within us that are just wrong and evil. Our state of being, the kind of person we are. And we need that to be changed. And also, we have weaknesses that are part of our human condition. Different people have different weaknesses. And, of course, all people share a base set of weaknesses as well. We have weaknesses that need to be changed so that we can have that blessed state of being that Jesus Christ has called us to. Okay, let's talk about it in more detail now. Almost Holy Trinity, have mercy on us, an invocation of the Holy Trinity. And we can pray to different people, persons of the Holy Trinity. When you pray to God the Father, the Son hears, the Spirit hears. To say that the Spirit gives life does not mean that the Father does not give life. To say that the Son does something that the Scriptures say that He does, I can't think of anything at this microsecond right now, does not mean that the Holy Spirit and the God the Father don't do the same thing as well. So when we're praying to the Holy Trinity, we're praying to all the persons of God, and we're praying to Jesus, or to the God the Father, or to the Holy Spirit. All the persons of God are hearing us. But this first invocation after Most Holy Trinity is, you can think of it as mentioning God the Father. O Lord, blot out our sins. Now, what is sinning? We've discussed that a little bit. It's to fall short of the mark is what the word means in Greek. It's transgression is the same meaning. It is a deed that demands punishment in the Scriptures. So, and remember, deeds, of course, are not just what we do. It's what we think and what we plan, even though we weren't able to do. So, a short definition of sin might be any thought or any deed that is not in keeping with God's will. The root cause of sin is for us to be like that thing that we are doing, to have some sort of attraction to it, Our existential state is such that we want to do that thing. Or it does happen in some cases that we have done it so often that we no longer have power over that sin whatsoever. And sometimes we do something even that we don't want to do. Not every alcoholic wants to remain an alcoholic. And yet they don't seem to be able to control what seems to be a voluntary action, right? To open a bottle and to drink from it seems to be something voluntary. To fornicate seems to be a voluntary action. And yet there is an involuntary aspect to it when we have sinned so frequently that we've lost our will. And really, I think we're getting more into the realm of iniquities here, right? Because the iniquities of man are our moral condition that is far from God. So anytime we sin, we are much unlike God. Now, blot is understood in two ways in the Scripture, as a verb, that is. To blot out a person or a people. God will say he won't remember anyone anymore. What a horrible thing. And it says in Exodus, I find this amazing. Look at what Moses said to God. Would we say such a thing? Look at this for incredible, all-consuming love for neighbor. He says, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. He was offering to substitute himself, to be blotted out of the book of life for his people when they had committed the sin of the idolatry. And then right after Moses says this, the Lord says unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So here's this meaning of blotting out a person or a people out of the book of life. And blotting is like erasing. Right, you have something that's written down, and it's erased. It would have been in some of the parchments. They would have like actually taken a knife and scratched it out. But it's gone. When it's blotted out, it's gone. Another meaning of blot is to blot out the sins of a person or a people. And one, it's a very negative idea, right? I mean, to be blotted out of the book of life is a horrible thing. But here, blot is being used in scriptures to talk about God forgiving us our sins. The Psalms are replete with things like that. And of course, the famous one is from the 50th Psalm, right? Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. And in Revelation, it is said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So the act of blotting is to erase, okay? Whether it means erasing the memory of a person from God, which means that he is no longer in the book of life. Or it is to erase sins. This verse from Isaiah has the same basic idea, where blotting is sort of implied. And that is the famous one from Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. One of my absolute favorite from the Old Testament. But like I said, just to have your sins blotted out is not enough. Because you blot out sins and they're going to come back. If you haven't changed, then you're going to do the same things again, or do different things, or do worse things. But you're not going to become completely pure without somebody helping you. So, we beseech, O Master, pardon our iniquities. Pardon is the same as forgive. And iniquities and sins are different, like I said. But iniquities are the things like that we really wouldn't want to tell people about. We want to put on a good face. Iniquities are very private things. When they become public, they're sins. When they're private, they're iniquities. Iniquities are hidden. but they are really who we are. And like I said, you can sin but not have iniquity. You can be free of sin but not have iniquities. Oh, but did I say that wrong again? You can be free of sin, but you can still be full of iniquities. And I have encountered this as a priest many, 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 many times that I try to teach people in confession. Just because you haven't had trouble with lust lately doesn't mean that you no longer have lust in your heart. Just because you haven't been angry at this person that you've had trouble with for 3 years doesn't mean that you've completely been cured of remembering wrongs, etc., etc., etc. We tend to be people that have a very short memory, and if we do good for a couple days, we think, hey, we're doing great. Okay? And this is not true. It's just not true. Our condition is truly a wretched one. And I really think that when the publican, we'll be talking about him soon, right? When the publican was saying, oh God, be merciful unto me, a sinner, what he was begging the Lord to help him with was, help me to be a better person. Help me to change. I do not like the person that I have become. I want to be different, and I can't figure out how to be different. So when he was begging the Lord for help, he was begging the Lord to help him make a moral inner transformation. And of course, so many would just think, mercy is just, forgive me my sins. And if you get nothing out of, I would think that anybody who's heard me preach for more than 3 times would know that this is one of the themes I refer to again and again and again. Just being forgiven is not enough. That's not what Jesus Christ came to do. Jesus Christ came so that we could become changed. And this prayer here, oh pardon our iniquities, is really hits at the center of it. We have iniquities in our hearts. We might not always show them, but they're always there. We want to get rid of them. And this prayer is begging for us to be helped to be morally changed. Here's a few scriptures about iniquities. We should desire to know our iniquities. That's a very good and holy thing to do. The fathers tried to do this. Job expresses it in incredibly well. He says to God, how many are mine iniquities and sins? See the difference? Iniquities and sins, he's mentioning both. Make me to know my transgression and my sin. So he's begging the Lord to inform him about what's wrong with him. And I've told you before also that there's two kinds of knowledge you need to be saved. One is to know God and the other is to know yourself. If you only know of your own sins without knowing the mercy of God, you'll fall into despair. But if you only think of know God, if you only think of the mercy of God and don't think of your own sins, then you fall into arrogance and prelust. So you have to know both. So Job is begging him with a contrite heart to tell him about his iniquities and sins. The question that we could ask ourselves, do we feel the burden of our iniquities? The psalmist certainly did. He says, for my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. What incredible imagery this is. That my moral condition is too bad for me to fix. It's gone over my head. It's out of control. It's run amok. And it's too heavy for me. And also, that's Psalm 38, verse 4. And in Psalm 40, verse 12, those might be the Western numbering, actually. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not even able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. I would submit to you that we have so many iniquities we can't even count them. And we should be very, very careful of whether or not we know about these iniquities. I personally think it's a very scary thing when I, as a priest, encounter confessions where people basically say, well, I've done pretty good this week. And that's about all they have to say. We don't do pretty good any week. Because there's things inside of us which are still pretty bad. Now, let's not lose heart about it. Jesus Christ came to help us to root those things out and to be changed. But how in the world are we going to do it unless we beg the Lord to show us our iniquities and unless we cultivate in ourselves a feeling of the depth of these iniquities and the weight of these iniquities and how these evils have compassed me round about and have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. And I think this is like not only one of shame, but also we can't look up. We're not able to be righteous. Just to look up is to be righteous. To be stand is to be righteous, right? When the woman was cured from her having her being bent over with crookedness is a metaphor in the scriptures for sin. And so you can't look up when you're full of sin. Iniquities are many, many, and hidden. Look what the psalmist says about them. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. And the Lord knows them all, of course. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. That brings to mind a point. Iniquities are hidden, right? No, they're not. God knows them all. And I think we placate ourselves with that we can have a certain facade that people see, and all of us have it, every single one of us, but it's not the person we really are. It's the person we want people to think we are. But God sees past that and sees who we are. And the beauty of what Jesus Christ has given us is that we will someday be able to show people exactly who we are and not be ashamed. There won't be a difference between who we are and what God and how we present ourselves to people to be the same. Now, perhaps that'll be only at the end. But some of the people, some of the saints were actually able to, have their iniquities be completely blotted out, changed, even in their lifetime. So the next verse of this prayer is, O Holy One, visit and heal our infirmities for thy name's sake. And again, I would refer to Job. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sins. And the psalmist also says, Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The diseases that lead or aid and abet the iniquities. We have infirmities of soul. We have infirmities of our mind, of our emotions. And they all mix together and make it very difficult for us to have that blessed existence that God wants us to have. And in the Acts, in that one of those original sermons, it was said, Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquity. So there is Jesus Christ's purpose. Not to forgive only, but to help us to root out our iniquities, to have our infirmities healed. And, of course, what is the quintessential, in my opinion, word picture for healing of infirmities and iniquities? It would be the Good Samaritan. So the man is left half dead by the road. The demons had come and robbed him, but he was left half dead. The Levite and the priest, they couldn't do anything about it because they didn't have the power to really save. But the Samaritan comes. And he gets down off of his beast. He pours in oil and wine, meaning that sometimes we have to have teachings that are stringent, that are painful, that are antiseptic. Sometimes the Lord rebukes us. And then also we must have oil poured in our wounds as well, which is the when God assures us that he will not leave us. He says things like, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I no longer call you slaves, now I call you friends." And other such, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Both of those are necessary in order for us to have our infirmities healed. So this prayer, in summing up, is really just a perfect way to beseech God concerning our totality of being. We have sins that we beg God to forgive us for. But our sins are from our infirmities and from our iniquities. And so we beg the Lord to help us with those as well, and to remove our iniquities and infirmities from us. Truly an incredible prayer. And I hope that when we say it, and we say it so many, many times, that it would sometimes be nice if it was all the time. But sometimes we would be able to just have something in this prayer really touch us. And really, when we're saying, "Pardon our iniquities," feel the weight of those iniquities and have inside of us this spark of wanting to change with all of our heart. These are incredible prayers, these common prayers. And the reason why they're used so often is because they are so theologically rich and they are so complete. But unfortunately, things that we say often, we tend to just kind of, they just become humdrum, and that's a shame, because this is really one of the most profoundly beautiful, complete, and theological prayers of our lexicon. So let's try to give it the respect it deserves. So when we say "All Holy Trinity" tonight, let's try to say it with real desire and effort. And of course, we'll say it one time, and it will just sort of sound like the phone book to us. But another time, perhaps God with His grace will help us to actually have some change happen in our soul as we're saying this prayer. Does anybody have any comments about All Holy Trinity?
I thought it was interesting, the sequence as we experience in our daily lives is we start with, we have infirmities, so we develop iniquities, and then we commit sins. But the prayer, God is dealing with us in the opposite direction. First, He deals with our sins and forgives them, and then He goes deeper and deals with our iniquities, and then finally, the infirmities that are human nature, our ancestral sin, will be dealt with.
That is interesting. Why do you think?
Rolling it backwards.
Why do you think we mention sins first then?
It's not as deep a part of us as our iniquities. It's dealt with first.
Yeah, it is. It is more of a, on the surface, right?
Right. Crude things first, and then.
Yeah, yeah. But also, don't you think that? When we do bad, we feel bad. It's really hard to do much good when you're just feeling depressed about how bad you are, you know?
It's encouraging to have that dealt with first.
To have, yeah, the encouragement of knowing that our sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. And then working on the deeper things. But certainly, yeah, it is mentioned that the sins are really the least odious of the three things that are mentioned.
It's like, what's easier to say, your sins forgiven, or rise up and walk? It's like the sins and iniquities there.
That's right. There you go. There you go. Really easy to say your sins be forgiven, isn't it? I mean, you could say that, and you can't be proven wrong.
Right.
But, yeah. Anyone else have any other comments about All Holy Trinity?